Welcome back to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets here with Angela Bachman.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday indeed. And joining us back again to finish things up, we've got Buck Dino of Work in Progress Radio. Buck, welcome back.
It's always great to be with you ladies. Run the last lap. Hopefully it puts you into the mode for a good weekend. Hopefully.
Yes, it does. All right. So you've got a guest with you.
Yes, I do. I have Patty Fidawa. She's a labor attorney with the Region 7 Office of the National Labor Relations Board based out of Detroit. Patty, thanks for joining us on the Union Edge. We appreciate it.
Hey, glad to be here.
You know, Patty, first thing I'd like to talk to you a little bit about, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you found your way into the National Labor Relations Board, actually.
Sure. I've been here about 20 years now, which doesn't seem quite as long as the number sounds, but I first became interested when I was in law school, and I come from a labor family, so I was at least somewhat attuned to a few labor issues. And you know, I can remember every so often if my dad was going to, you know, go out on strike, or so we thought, and you know, those kind of issues would come up. And then when I was in law school, I thought, hey, you know, this is really interesting stuff. The work is interesting. You deal with a whole variety of people. And so sometimes it's somebody that's not that well educated but is, you know, trying to make the world work. And then the next second I'm dealing with a sophisticated attorney, and I really like people. And I think collective bargaining is really important. And I think it makes the whole world work better.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You know, one of the thing we're going to talk about today is that what we call is to better educate ourselves, actually, so that we can continue to better educate our not-yet-union brothers and sisters. There's always a lot of rhetoric out there. Today we're going to talk a little bit about work rules. The board's been scrutinizing work rules for some time. And, you know, those are things that are found in handbooks, and then, you know, obviously they're posted in the bulletin boards and the walls and sometimes the restrooms of the factories and hospitals. And some of those times, they tend to interfere with employee rights to discuss their working conditions. But tell us a little bit about, you sent along some stuff here. What are some bad work rules?
Sure. I kind of made a list here of a few areas that I think are particularly important as we talk about work rules. Some employers have work rules that prohibit employees from talking about wages and other things at work, what we call working conditions. Sometimes there's even this work rule, it's always kind of cracks me up a little bit, but if you have a work rule that says you have to respect supervision and it's not defined in any way, that makes it sound like you can't assert your concerns, or you know, you can't get into an honest argument with your supervisor, your boss. There's some work rules that say you can't talk to the media about work issues. There's also work rules that say sometimes you can't talk to outsiders about what's going on at work, like your salary, or you know, if you have to work overtime, or even you know what your hours are. And one of them that's one set of rules that's been kind of hot as of late is restrictions on what you can post on Facebook. And that's something else that we've been trying to address, is that employees do have rights to talk out there in the online community about what's going on at work and work together to try to, you know, make work a better place to be.
Well, why are work rules important? I mean, we all see these things, but why are they important?
Sometimes, you know, as we're looking at things, sometimes it feels like you're just looking at the page on the wall, and that it's just a bunch of words. But work rules really restrict what you can do at work. And so that means employees, if they have a work rule that says they can't talk about their wages, well, then how do you know that there's a fair policy at the workplace unless employees can sort of enforce these things and actually fight for their own rights? Work rules, it's what we call chill, is a big term that we use a lot. Chill employee rights sometimes, because they tell workers they can't do things that actually they have a right to do and would actually make the workplace a better place to be.
Well, you know, let's back up a little bit. You talked about the Facebook thing. You know, is there a lot of what can an employee post on a Facebook page? I mean, can they discuss back and forth about their willingness to organize? And, you know, I know some of the employers probably monitor the Facebook posts. Can they talk about that without retribution on Facebook?
Yeah, absolutely they can. There's limits to all of these things. I mean, there's always a step too far or something like that. But most of the time, employees can discuss whether it's a union organizing drive or whether it was what they consider a ridiculous directive from an employer that, you know, they're like, hey, oh, the supervisor, he's been bugging me over and over about this, and I just don't like it. What do you think? Those sorts of things, it's almost like a regular conversation. It just happens to be online, and you do have a right to do it. Hey, employers are online too. I mean, it's usually doesn't stay a secret once you have it online. However, you absolutely have a right to talk about it.
So, have you run into many cases where the employee or any cases where employees are disciplined for some of the stuff they've been putting on Facebook, and then and actually had to come to you for say clarification?
Yes, it does happen on occasion. We get a wide variety of cases here, but we do get some situations where two employees are complaining about what was going on at work, and then all of a sudden one of them's disciplined for it, or sometimes both. And if it's in the, like I said, sometimes we have a small keyhole for things to fit into, to fit within the law. But if everything checks out and that's indeed why they were disciplined, then we will issue complaint and pursue that matter.
You know, one of the things you brought up, that it has always been an issue, about employees and their discussions at work. Are employees allowed to talk about wages and working conditions at work?
Yes, and that's been a huge issue that so many employers don't realize it, and so many employees don't realize it. It's one thing, I want to, I guess, talk about an exception to that first. If you're the accountant in the office, and so you know everybody's salaries and that sort of, that's different. You shouldn't be talking about those sorts of things at work. If you get it through sort of an official channel like that, where you actually have a duty of confidentiality, then you can't be talking about those sorts of things. But if you're a regular employee and I'm saying, hey, I'm making $10 an hour, you start talking to Sam over here and Sam's making $15 an hour, you can talk about that. And the idea behind that and why it's important is that way maybe you can talk to the employer and they can have a fairer compensation or, wage scale. And those sorts of things, are supposed to be able to happen in a workplace.
Well, even back in the, I should say the old days, they would basically try to segregate some of the non-union workers from themselves, actually, to keep them from talking to each other. So what you're saying is if they hand you a book when you first take a job, and then the book it says you're to refrain from talking to other employees about working conditions or wages, that's against the law then, right?
Most likely. It's we're lawyers, so every little word matters, but yeah, most likely, if there's anything that does prohibit you from, talking about wages and working conditions, it's most likely a violation of the law. And if you're not sure, this is why it's great to call us up. I mean, you can call us up for starters to get a perspective, and that won't be the final word, but you can file a charge, and we would do a full investigation. Even if it's a simple rule, sometimes there's some exception. But definitely, you have a right to talk about wages and what we call terms and conditions of employment at work.
We talked about one of the social media. We talked about Facebook. What about the other? There's been, of course, with the invite. We talked to one of your colleagues a while back about office email and things like that. So is that a clear black and white issue, whether you can talk on company email about a union organizing drive or not?
You can. There are, once again, there's always some set of, possible limitations out there. But for the most part, employees do have a right. If they, computer's part of their regular work and they have a work computer, they can't do it during their regular work time. They can do it on breaks or out, time during the day. Let's put it this way. If an employer allows you to, that's fine. But you are absolutely, you know, allowed to use the computer to have those communications.
That's an affirmative that, if you're on a break or you're on a lunch period, that you can converse with whatever means you want to with other employees.
That's correct.
That's interesting. It sure has changed over the years. Now we're talking about tweeting and texting and emailing, and back in the day it was a home visit and a payphone. So
right.
It sure has changed in a short period of time. We're talking to Patty Fidawa of the National Labor Relations Board, an attorney in Region 7 based out of Detroit. You're listening to The Union Edge, and when we come back, we'll continue this discussion.
You don't usually get a stock tip from a 16-year-old, but I'm here to tell you about a different kind of stock. It's called Better Futures, a stock for social change that's not about making money. Instead, you invest to help students like me go to college, which ends up making the future better for all of us. My name is Alicia, and I'm your dividend.
Invest in better futures with UNCF. Visit uncf.org/invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Let's get America working. We must build, maintain, and repair our nation's crumbling infrastructure. Teamsters support a bipartisan approach to creating good jobs for American workers. Learn more at letsgetamericaworking.com. Teamsters strong, America stronger.
I make learning a privilege, not a chore, and frustration a tool, not an obstacle. I'm a teacher. I make more.
Make more. Teach. Visit teach.org. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
I'm in almost every school bus and classroom. You see me around the neighborhood, and you tell me that I'm a pretty good kid.
Well, I'm one out of every 5 children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger.
Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help.
Every dollar you donate helps provide 8 meals for kids like me.
We are Feeding America, brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets, and I'm hanging out here on Friday with Angela Bachman.
It's always good to hang out with you on the air, Brittany.
We are having lots of fun. Thank you all so much for tuning in with us and taking this ride with us. But as we come to our final stop, we have Buck Gino of Work in Progress Radio with us. Buck, welcome back.
It's always a pleasure to be with you. Hopefully it sets you off to a good weekend. Hopefully you stay out of the snow.
Let's hope. And also, let's hope that, Penn State gets a nice little win this weekend. Let's go State, you guys in your blue.
Well, see, I was going to say, I was going to remind you, there's no such thing as neutral when it comes to football. So,
So true.
Anyway, with us today, we also have Patty Fidawa. She's an attorney with the Region 7 Office of the National Labor Relations Board based out of Detroit. Patty, thanks for joining us. We really do appreciate it.
Hey, it's nice to be on.
We were talking, Patty, about the work rules and what employees can talk about at work and what they can't talk about, and at times what time they can talk about it. If someone goes out and they get a job, and then the first thing the employer does after the hiring process is hand them this big 1-inch thick book of what they call the employee handbook, and they start to read through that thing, and all of a sudden there's flags that go up all over different places. What can an employee do? Kind of on the QT, if they have an inclination that some of these may violate the act, should they do?
The first thing I would do is call us up. We, by the way, our phone number, the National Labor Relations Board's phone number, is 1-866-667-6572. Another way to say it is 1-866-667-NLRB, which stands for National Labor Relations Board. I would give us a call, and we we all answer calls during the day. And if somebody, we can't give you, you know, the final decision, but we can talk to you about the issue and you can decide if you want to take it further. And no one knows about these calls. So this is information that we keep that people have called. However, your employer never finds out.
So you would oftentimes, could an employee go to even, making a time to come in and bring the handbook with them and then one of the agents take a look at it?
If it's one or two rules, I don't want to commit any agents to, you know, what could be a few hour review. But if you've got a few rules, it might make sense to come on in and have somebody look at it quickly. And they can see if there's any obvious issues. And that might be a good way to start the process. And sometimes some of the problems in a handbook tend to repeat. So if you looked at a few rules and you kind of get an idea of what you're looking for and what's important by looking at a couple rules, then you can, make some decisions on the rest of the book and how you want to proceed.
But say a group of employees, let's go a little deeper. Now. Say a group mm-hmm. say three or four employees have some issues with work clothes, and they're really not represented by a union. If they got together, would say the National Labor Relations Board meet them somewhere and have a discussion about that?
Well, what we usually do in that situation, we do indeed provide what we outreach and training upon request. If somebody wants us to come to a workplace, or if there's a bunch of people, it doesn't even have to be through an employer. Somebody actually wants us to do a speaking engagement, we are available for those. So if they just want some general perspective. But if you've got a specific concern and, if for some reason you don't want to come in or you want to take it a little further, you can file a charge. The employer will find out that you filed the charge as we're doing the investigation, and we will take information from the employer. But we will do an investigation, and we'll get down to the bottom of whether we think the laws violate the act and whether we need to take other action. So if you come in and just talk to us one-on-one, nobody finds out, and then we can give you sort of a survey of where we think things should go and possibly file a charge. But if you want us to really look at it, we can look at your whole handbook if you do file a charge.
So take us to how a person would file a charge. Obviously, you said that when you do file a charge, when you get into the investigation, the cat's out of the bag. There is some protection for employees
yes.
in that process, right?
Yes. It is illegal to retaliate against anyone who files a charge. And by the way, you just need one person to file a charge, and that person does not have to be a member of a union or a union. Just an individual can file a charge. And if you come in and file the charge and there is some retaliation, then what we would do is have that charge amended, and we would pursue an investigation as to whether there was retaliation. It's illegal to retaliate against someone for filing a charge with the National Labor Relations Board.
You talked about the number. Give us the number one more time.
The number is 1-866-667-6572.
And a lot of this stuff you can do online, correct?
That's correct. We also have a website. I'll give you that as well. It's www.nlrb.gov.
And like I said, can you even file a charge online? Right?
Yes, you can. You can file it online via fax, and fax numbers and things like that are available, or through the mail, or you can drop one off in person.
Okay. We're getting toward the end of it, as we appreciate. But is there anything coming down the line that you see that we as the working people of this country should be aware of? I know you guys deal with different things, but is there something that is coming up that we should pay attention to?
Boy, there's always a lot of issues percolating. Things change when we get different administrations, so that could possibly happen, depending on who wins the election coming up next November. There'll be a lot of changes after that. It always takes a few months for those to turn into appointments that will be different. But political changes sometimes result in other changes. But in terms of other big issues, there always are, but I can't tell you exactly what the National Labor Relations Board is going to issue next. So
sure.
There's always changes.
Well, you touched on something that we should all pay attention to, is that the makeup of the board is, I know you guys have to stand down as far as political, but the makeup of the board is decided by politics, right?
That's correct. Or it's let's put it this way, it's decided by someone who is elected. Yeah, the National Labor Relations Board, there's five positions on the actual board, and that board is each position is appointed by the president.
And so, like as you said, it takes a few months after the election for that all to sort out.
Yeah, and they're rotating to, some of them have five-year terms, some of them are shorter because they're interim appointments, but so sometimes it even can take longer than a few months because there actually has to be an expiration of a term for the next appointment to come up. So it can take longer, but it usually takes a few months before there's some change as we go through the process.
So one more time, give us the phone number. They don't have to necessarily have a question about just working rules. It could be working conditions as far as pay and things like that. Or if it doesn't come under the act, you will always direct them to the right department, correct?
That's correct. We handle, like I said, just violations of the National Labor Relations Act, which deals with bargaining rights, or if someone believes that they had some action taken because of their union activities, or there are things related to that, or if they were acting together with other employees and think they were retaliated against, or things like these work rules. But hey, when in doubt, give us a call, and then we can send you to another agency if it's a Department of Labor matter or some state issue. But I'm going to give you the number again. It's 1-866-667-6572.
Give us the website one more time.
Sure. It's www.nlrb.gov.
Patty, thank you very much for joining us today. We really do appreciate it. We'll do it again sometime.
That would be great. Thank you.
And for Charles Showalter, Angela Bachman, and Brittany Sheets, I'm Buck Gino, and you've been listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.